I was choosing to go back to James quite a while ago, this morning. So this message, this portion of scripture, was well in the plan before this week began. So it's very interesting. It was a little while ago, but the battery in my watch was coming to the end of its life. And the impact was that my watch wasn't as accurate as it normally was. It's a very accurate means of telling the time, but it was going slower. And it was an interesting experience for me. It had an interesting impact on me because, there was this unsettledness in me just under the surface. You know, there was this sort of little nagging thoughts creeping into my head. It took a while to get a new battery. Because I know you're sitting there thinking, well, why didn't you just go and get a new battery? I could feel that coming back. So I needed to address that, remove it, and continue. And so because there was a, am I on time? Am I running late, you know? I'm losing track of time. Will I preach too long? There was all these thoughts going on in my head. And it was really unsettling. It was a very strange experience. And this experience highlighted for me that I live in time. My existence is intertwined with time. I cannot escape time. And as a person, a modern Western person living today, time is important. Time matters. And what's more, I don't control it. I can't control time. I simply live life in it. So how do you relate to time? How do you think about time? Yes, we are returning to James and we are commencing a new section. And in my mind, it's interesting because that's the very thing that James focuses his attention on, how we live in time. He's talking about time. Chapter 4, verse 13. He speaks of today or tomorrow. Verse 14, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Chapter 5, verse 1. He speaks of the misery that is coming on you. Verse 3, he speaks of the last days. Verse 5, the day of slaughter. Verse 7, until the Lord's coming. Verse 8, the Lord is coming near. It's all these references to time. Yes, as physical beings, human beings, we live in time and space. We're here now. We're in this geographic setting. We live in time and space. And indeed, our existence is finite. It is time-bound. We're born, we live, and we die. There is a past, a present, and a future. And indeed, some would suggest because of that existence, our existence, it is indeed a meaningless existence. But that's not the worldview of the Bible. I mean, its opening words make it clear to us. In the beginning. In the beginning. Here it is, a bold declaration that we are not lost and wandering in some cosmic cycle of time and chance. We live in a paradigm, in an era that had a beginning, in the beginning. But not only that, it has a destiny. It has a destiny. It is going somewhere. James spoke of the last days of the Lord's coming. Now, that is a common theme throughout the Bible. Daniel, the ancient Jewish prophet, spoke of this when he talked about the appointed time of the end. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he spoke of this destiny when he declared, for example, in 1 Corinthians, the end will come. Ephesians, where he speaks of when the times will have reached their fulfillment. In the beginning, when the times have reached their fulfillment. Okay, so here it is. Yes, we exist in time, in this thing, this paradigm called time, this moment. This paradigm that has a beginning and is progressing towards a destiny. James' interest is how do we live in time, in the here and now, as followers of Jesus, as those who seek to live according to the wisdom of heaven, as he keeps on talking about. And what we see in this section of his letter are three principles which help us address how this very issue of how to live in time. And that's what we're going to explore over the next 3 weeks. So the first principle we find in James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. If we're going to live in time as followers of Jesus, we need to clearly understand who we are as human beings. Let me read it for you once again. James 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. In verse 13, James creates a hypothetical scenario, as he has done previously, to make his point. And this one is of a business person. A business person making plans. They've identified the when, the where, the how long, and the outcome. They've done their business strategy. Now, let's be clear. The problem is not that they planned. There's a well-known English phrase, saying that says, aim at nothing and you will hit it every time. Planning in and of itself is not wrong. The problem here with James's businessman is their distorted understanding of what it means to be a human being. As one commentator put it, James is not condemning their business, but their boasting. Not their industry, but their independence. Not their acumen, but their arrogance. You see, this is the problem. As people, we are limited. As physical beings, human beings, we are limited. That's right. We are limited. If you don't believe it, get old. See, but you think about so much of the thinking that goes on out there. So much of the thinking that we hear. We are not infallible, friends. We are not all-knowing. We cannot have it all. We cannot do it all. Yes, we're physical beings bound by time and space. The issue is we are not gods. And we are not becoming little gods. We're not gods. We're human beings created in the image of God to know God, to live in dependence upon God, in relationship with Him. But this notion of our human infallibility, this notion of you can be a God, is not new, is it? I mean, the first time we encounter it in the Bible was with Satan himself. At some point in time, in some point in the past, Satan, and indeed we don't know when, made a choice. He made a choice to live as God. He said to himself, I want to be God. Yes, in seeing the eternal God, the creator God, the one true God, and being understanding that he was made by him, Satan said, I want to be him. I want to be God. And as the narrative of Scripture unfolds, we see Satan coming in Genesis chapter 3 into the Garden of Eden. And he seduces humanity with that very same carrot. You shall be like gods. That's what he says to humanity. That's what he continues to whisper and indeed shout to humanity. Despite all that God has done for us and said to us, we buy Satan's lie. And thus commences humanity's long journey of wrong thinking, of frustration and rebellion. And so James in verse 16 calls this presumptuous lifestyle, boasting and bragging. It's a proud confidence in one's own knowledge or cleverness. It's an arrogance, which at the end of the day is evil. It's not of God. It is opposed to God. So how do we, as followers of Jesus, live in time as human beings? How do we do that? How do we live as human beings, as those who have been created by God? Let me suggest, well, I would say James suggests three things to us. And the first is, accept that you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Verse 14 again. Look at it. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Proverbs 27. James is echoing exactly what we read in the ancient wisdom of Proverbs. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. If you question this, think about flying for a moment. I mean, in recent years, it's been interesting just thinking about flying and airports. Like, for example, there have been, like about 10 years ago, I think it was in Argentina, there were volcanoes. There have been a couple of volcanoes going off in Bali where all planes have been grounded. And just recently, there was fog in Brisbane. All planes were grounded. Pastor Ben was on holidays in China visiting family. He was due to come back. Enormous storms, heaps of rain. He spent 24 hours in an airport. I read the descriptions in the Bible of hell. I think being stranded in an airport for 24 hours comes close. but all those things you can just and it was interesting with Pastor Ben. We're WeChatting backwards and forwards because he was due back in the office from his holiday this day, and he was going to do this and he was going to do this, and he's rearranging his life because something happened that he had no control over, that he just did not know it was going to happen. If he knew there was going to be a flood and rain pouring and aeroplanes cancelled, he would have planned better. But think about your life. The stuff that happens has happened that you did not know what would happen. Did you know that Marianne Beecher had a birthday? She got surprised recently. She did not know that was going to happen at all. Stuff happens like that. We need to live in the reality of life, not pretend that we can control life. We can manipulate our destiny in some way. We're not in control. And secondly, accept that your life is transitory. And we've spoken to this already this morning. Again, verse 14. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The sun rises and it burns the morning mist away and a new day is born. The Apostle Peter picked up this same theme, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. It's all very well to philosophically say, oh, yeah, we understand that. But, of course, the events of this week, it confronts us this morning of the reality that our life as human beings, as physical beings, is transitory. That is normal. That is normal. It happens. We need to accept that our life is transitory. There was an Alliance pastor, I think Bruce Down, some of you will know, who used to have a saying. He says, I'm looking forward to heaven, but I'm taking as long as I can to get there. Because the reality is our life is transitory. This is not the totality of our existence. We are passing through, as it were. And then thirdly, James draws our attention to the fact that we need to accept that our life is in God's hands. Notice verse 15 here in this portion. Instead, he says, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, yes, and I've said it before, but let me say it again. We are not the masters of our own destiny. Whether you recognize it or not, your life is in God's hands. And this statement here that James is making, this, if the Lord wills, we need to understand it's not some empty little mantra that we say, you know, and we just tack it on the end, you know, superstitiously wrapping our life around some words. If I say these magic words, everything will work out okay. That's not what James is saying at all. He's not saying that at all. My life will work out if I can just say the magic formula. No. James is pointing us to an attitude. An attitude of humility. An attitude that says, God, you are God and I am not. God, I trust you. My life is in your hands, whether it be a time of joy or sadness. Whether I feel dry or full. You are the sovereign King who not only has the right to do whatever you want, but you are good and trustworthy. Good and trustworthy. Yes, our life is in God's hands and we can trust Him. And so at the end of the day, how you live, how I live, it's our choice. It's your choice. We can, as James put it in verse 17, know the good we ought to do, but don't do it. The choice is yours. We can know it in our heads. We can agree with it philosophically, but in practice live as atheists. The choice is ours. And indeed, that is how the culture around us lives. But interestingly, think about our culture, our world for a moment. Isn't it marked with rampant anxiety and fretting? Whereas here it is. How do we live as human beings? How were we made to live? Because indeed, that's what James is reminding us. That's what James is calling us back to. God created you as a human being, and this is how he made you to live. Live in restful faith in God who is good. That's the call here. In the face of incredible pain and struggling, where yes, there are so many things we may not understand. There are potentially so many whys. But our place is one of restful faith in God who is good. It's interesting, Jesus spoke to this same theme in the Sermon on the Mount. He spoke about time and how we live in the midst of time. Let me read it for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow, they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Friends, how do we relate to time? We live today, facing what is confronting us today in restful faith in God, the God who made us, the God who is good. Let me pray. Father, if we collected all the stuff that is going on in all our lives right now, we probably could fill this room with fears, anxieties, grief, struggle, disappointment, so much stuff. Yes, Lord, we live in this present moment in time, and we acknowledge, as the Apostle Paul put it, we live in a reality where it is this present sufferings. But Lord, you are God who is the God who is present, the God who is active, the God who is powerful. And indeed, Lord, you're interested in our lives. And Father, we choose to live as your followers today. Help us shape our understanding of time according to your word. Not all the voices that are shouting at us out there. Help us challenge the way we think and the way we live according to the truth of your word. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to live in time as followers of Jesus. Yes, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.